Seek ye first, therefore, the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things will be added unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord tells us today that we cannot serve both God and mammon. This is an important lesson because many people stop serving God when they start serving the world. And sometimes they even serve the world to the detriment of their service of God. Now, the clearest and most obvious example of doing this is someone who steals. In order to obtain more earthly goods, he actually commits an offense against God. And so we will consider the sin of stealing today. Now, we all learned in catechism class that stealing is a sin. Even if we didn't, we would know just from reason that we can't steal. Everyone knows that. But there are certain nuances to that rule that are not as obvious as thou shalt not steal. And yet we have to know all the different types of stealing that there are in order that we can avoid them, so that we can always be honest in our dealings with our fellow man. Now, every person has a right to his property. This is a very sacred right, and any violation of that is a sin. If you own something, no one can take that from you, unjustly, of course. And in the same way, you can't take anything from someone else. Moral theologians have a sort of a slogan that says that a thing cries out to its owner. If a person is deprived of what belongs to him, that stolen object will cry out to his owner to be reunited with him until the person gets his thing back. This commandment not to steal is so strict that someone cannot be absolved in confession who steals unless he gives back the stolen property, or at least sincerely promises to do so. And the strictness of this rule is an interesting proof of the holiness of the Catholic faith. There was, in fact, a general during the Civil War who became a Catholic because of this. He noticed that some of the Protestant soldiers would steal things from him sometimes. He couldn't trust them around his property. But the Catholic soldiers would never steal from him. So one day he asked one of them why that was. I guess he said, "Why don't you steal from me?" or something like that. And the Catholic answered that if he stole anything from him, he would have to give it back in order to be forgiven. So there was really no point in stealing anything from him anyway. And the general was so impressed that eventually he converted. This commandment forbids not only mugging people, armed robbery, credit card fraud, and that sort of thing. But I think we all know that those are sins. But it forbids all forms of dishonesty whatsoever. I think most of us know what stealing is in the more simple cases that we just saw. So let's look at a few examples of dishonesty that are not as obvious. For example, if you sell something, you need to tell the person buying it about any serious defects in the thing that you're selling, if they're significant and if they're not obvious. For example, if you're selling your car on Craigslist and it runs well, but there is some problem, say in the transmission or something like that, that would be very expensive to fix and that would eventually make the car stop running, then you have to tell the person who is the prospective buyer if it's not something that they could find out easily by themselves. But if it's something obvious, like if there's a huge dent in the fender, you don't have to specifically point it out and say, "Hey, look at that huge dent. Are you sure you want to buy this car?" Because they can see it for themselves. Any form of debt has to be paid, obviously. Even something casual like a bet on a football game or something like that, if there was a true agreement on that bet, then it has to be paid if your team loses. When I was a kid, a friend of mine was once eating in a restaurant with some of his friends, and they told him that they would pay him $20 if he drank a whole bottle of Tabasco sauce. And he was desperate enough for money to do that. And after he did it, they didn't pay him. And so that was a sin. They were obliged to pay him, especially after that. Sometimes people borrow money from their friends and they never pay it back. They excuse it by saying to themselves, "Oh, they don't care if I pay them back or not. They're my friend." But that's wrong. Usually, most of the time, people want their money back. And you can't just let yourself off the hook like that. In fact, it's worse to borrow from a friend and not pay it back, which is stealing, than to do that to someone that you don't know, because it adds the sin of disloyalty to your friend to the sin of stealing. More serious debts like credit cards are also binding in conscience. Sometimes people get in over their heads in debt without having any idea how they'll pay it off. And that's wrong. All that debt has to be paid back, including the steep interest rates, which are usurious, but they agreed to that when they signed the contract for the credit card, so they're obliged to pay that. Someone who has a lot of credit card debt, or debt of any kind, has to start saving his money and trying to pay back his creditors, even getting professional help if necessary. However, a mortgage is a little different because it comes with a schedule of how quickly you have to pay it back. So as long as you pay the monthly rate, then you're okay. Another common form of dishonesty is when you take your car to the repair shop and the repairman tells you that you need a whole bunch of repairs on the car that it really doesn't need. That's also fraudulent, and it has to be someone who commits that sin would have to make restitution. Someone who works at a job is required to work during the time that he's there. If he is paid by the hour, he is supposed to work during the time that he bills the company for. Someone who is salaried is usually expected to work 8 hours a day, or they're given certain duties that they're expected to perform. Now, there's a little more latitude in time at work. You should work while you're there, but that doesn't mean that you're committing an injustice if you spend a little bit of time chatting with other employees or even running personal errands. Employers know that everybody does that, and it's kind of assumed, and it's actually factored into how much they pay you. Now, as far as how much time someone can spend at work on things not related to work before it becomes a sin, it's hard to give a specific answer for that. But I think in general, if someone's boss is happy with their work and they're not always getting after them for being behind or working too slow or things like that, then they can assume that they're fulfilling their obligation. Another thorny problem today is copyright infringement. Unfortunately, we live in a world where copyrights are extended beyond any boundary of justice or even common sense. There was a story once of a lady who put up a video on YouTube of her 2-year-old child trying to sing some popular song, and the owners of that song threatened to sue her for copyright infringement. Of course, that's completely absurd. And then on the other hand, you can download practically any software program or movie or media for free on the underground file sharing networks. So, first of all, if you buy a computer program or a movie, you're entitled to use it as people generally consider to be okay. If you have 3 computers at home, let's say, or if you have a computer at home and a computer at work, You can certainly install the program on all three of your computers or both of them. Even though most software comes with fine print that says you're only supposed to install it on one computer, most people would not consider that to be wrong, and that really doesn't oblige. As far as pirated software or media goes, I think a safe rule of thumb is that you can download that stuff as long as you would not have bought it anyway. For example, if you would never have bought some program or movie, but your friend gives you a copy or you download it for free on Kazaa or LimeWire or the Pirate Bay, that's okay because the company is really not losing any money in that transaction. There's no real injustice there. Whether you downloaded it or not, they would never have gotten any money from you in either case. Another case is if you find something valuable on the street or in public. You're obliged to try to find the owner, and if you can't find the owner, then you can keep what you found. You're only obliged to take reasonable means. So if you put an ad in the newspaper, in the lost and found section, and no one calls up to claim their thing, then it's yours. If you damage something belonging to someone else, you're obliged to repair that, unless it was a complete accident and there was absolutely no culpability on your part. But usually those types of accidents happen when people are careless or negligent. So if you dent someone's car while you're parallel parking, or if you're in the parking lot and you open your door too far and hit the car next to you, then you should leave a note on their windshield so that you can repair the damage. These are just a few common applications of the virtue of justice. If you have any questions about a particular case in your own life, you should ask the priest what to do, and he would be happy to help you. To be dishonest involving a small amount of money is a venial sin, but in a serious amount, injustice is a mortal sin. Now, how much money that is, theologians teach that a typical day's wage for a working man would be sufficient to become a mortal sin. And today that would be about $150. So if you steal that amount of money, or if you cause that amount of money's worth of unjust damage to someone's property, then it's a mortal sin, and there is a serious obligation to pay it back. You cannot be absolved unless you pay it back. It could also be a mortal sin to steal less than that if you steal it from someone who is very poor or who would suffer some serious damage from the loss. For example, if you're out in the desert and someone has only one bottle of water left in the whole world and you steal that from them, that's a mortal sin, even though it only costs $1 or something, because it causes them serious harm. But that would be a sin of charity rather than against justice. But it does not work the other way. If you steal $150 from an extremely rich man, that's still a mortal sin, even if he didn't even know that it was gone. And the reason for that is because he just can't go around stealing that kind of money. So we have to be very careful, always to be strict and honest in our dealings with others. The vice of dishonesty is a terrible thing to be enslaved to. That's what caused Judas to betray our Lord, if you remember. And very often people commit this sin because they're too attached to worldly things. They would rather have the passing things of this world rather than the grace of God. And as our Lord said today in the Gospel, take no thought of what you shall eat or what you shall drink. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all of these things will be given to you. So we should never be tempted to think that we have to steal in order to survive, because God will provide for us if we obey his law first. And we should use our possessions and our talents and resources to serve God, to advance His kingdom on earth, rather than for our own enjoyment. That's serving mammon, which is opposed to serving God. And the things of this world can never give us any real satisfaction anyway, whether we acquire them justly or not. As it says in Shakespeare, "Who steals my purse steals trash. 'Tis something, 'tis nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slave to thousands." Let us ask God today never to let us trade our eternal salvation for some perishable goods of this world that we would not be able to bring with us to hell anyway. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.